Record numbers of workers suffering poverty pay under the Condon-Simon Carter. The continuing scandal of low pay again hit the headlines last week, when the Resolution Foundation think tank published figures showing a record number of workers in the UK on poverty wages. Over 5 million workers earn less than two-thirds of the median hourly pay, equivalent to £7.69 an hour, a rise of 250,000 over the last year. And almost a quarter of minimum wage workers now earning £6.50 an hour have remained on it for the past 5 years. Clearly, the government's continuing pay freeze, as part of its austerity measures to bail out capitalism, and employers using the recession to lower wage rates, have led to a huge drop in workers' living standards. According to the Trades Union Congress TUC, which, on paper, is committed to a £10 an hour minimum wage, workers have experienced an 8% slump in real earnings since 2007, the steepest fall in living standards since Victorian times. Self-employed. Moreover, the 5 million plus figure doesn't take in account the many workers who have joined the ranks of the self-employed because they had no other option. Earlier this year, the Resolution Foundation pointed out that self-employment had risen from 650,000 5 years ago to a staggering 4.5 million, or 15% of the active workforce. But far from becoming millionaire entrepreneurs, the average weekly income of a self-employed person is 20% lower than in 2008 and 40% less than a typical full-time worker. Recently, many public sector workers in the health service and in government departments walked out in disgust at another effective pay cut, and against a backdrop of Tory Chancellor George Osborne hinting that such freezes would continue beyond the span of the next parliament. The trade unions must protect their members' living standards by coordinating widespread strike action to counter the government and bosses' attacks on pay. This action should prepare the ground for a one-day nationwide stoppage to implement the £10 an hour minimum wage as a step toward a living wage. NHS more cuts planned. Davecare. The National Health Service NHS is being ripped apart as a result of an acute underfunding crisis. Inevitably, patient care is suffering as a result. This cash shortfall is coupled to an accelerating privatization program in the form of rip-off private finance initiative PFI contracts and the outsourcing of the bulk of the NHS budget under the Condon's Health and Social Care Act 2012. In September this year, it was reported that 86 out of 147 NHS trusts, including 33 self-governing foundation trusts, were in deficit. Of these, two-thirds are hospital trusts. In 2012, South London Healthcare NHS Trust, crippled by unserviceable PFI payments to for-profit private consortia, became the first trust to be placed into special administration before being broken up. But instead of scrapping and reversing this privatisation agenda, the head of NHS England, Simon Stevens, former Labour government health advisor and president of US-based United Health Group private healthcare company, has set out a new five-year plan of cuts and charges. Stevens, while being careful to say that the majority of health services would continue to be met by NHS providers, also argued that the private sector had an important role to play in the NHS. Indeed, figures from the Department of Health show that non-NHS providers secured £10 billion of contracts, or 10% of the NHS budget in England, a figure that inevitably will grow under the government's Health and Social Care Act. Stevens was more robust in defending the use of PFI contracts developed under the Blair/Brown Labour governments when he was a healthcare advisor, despite the untenable burden these schemes have placed on NHS resources. In order to plug an estimated £30 billion funding shortfall by 2020, NHS England wants an extra 2-3% efficiency savings, i.e. cuts, on top of the existing savings being pushed through by NHS managers. David Bennett, chief executive of Monitor, which regulates the NHS Foundation Trust sector, did not rule out the NHS having to charge for hospital stays or GP appointments if government spending did not increase. NHS England also wants to merge hospitals, cut back office workers, and to use more volunteers instead of qualified and paid staff. These changes are supported by Labour and the Lib Dems. Scrap PFI. yet it was staff shortages, driven by financial targets, to achieve foundation trust status, which played a critical part in the neglect of patients in the mid-staff's hospital scandal. In the run-up to the general election, the three main establishment parties in Westminster are keen to trumpet their defense of the NHS as a publicly funded and run healthcare provider. Yet these parties are responsible for the systematic undermining of the NHS as part of their pro-big business agendas and their private healthcare connections. The Socialist Party, working with its trade union allies in the Trade Unionist and Socialist Coalition, will continue to fight for the scrapping of PFI services and to demand that privatized services are reintegrated into a fully funded and democratically run public NHS. This could be paid for through nationalizing the tax-avoiding giant corporations, including the parasitic big pharma drug companies, and imposing a wealth tax on the income and assets of the super-rich. Then, people's health could come first instead of private profit. Our health is not a game. Claire Job, Welsh NHS nurse. The right-wing Daily Mail has continued its tradition of irresponsible journalism recently, with an unprecedented number of articles attacking Labour-managed NHS Wales. It kicks off an offensive Tory electioneering campaign which basically consists of saying our NHS isn't as bad as your NHS and this is what you get if you vote Labour into office. Indeed, the Mail Online gratuitously emphasizes Prime Minister David Cameron's comment that the OECD Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development was welcome to visit the health service in England, to compare it to scandal-hit Wales. The Condem austerity package has made significant fissures in the health of ordinary people both sides of the border. In Wales, although the NHS is coordinated and organised centrally, escaping the horrors of privatisation in NHS England, the cuts to spending on healthcare have been considerable. The Welsh Government, instead of fighting the Tory-led government cuts, has overseen a real terms cut of 2.5% in health spending per head of the population since 2009, a bigger reduction than any other part of the UK. This is because the Welsh Government decided not to ring-fence NHS funding in the early days of Condem austerity. While the Tories in Westminster kick the NHS in Wales, and the Labour Welsh Government kicks the English NHS in return, real people's lives are held in the balance. The NHS on both sides of the border requires major investment, and the privatisation of health services in England must be urgently reversed if we are to meet the health needs of the population. This isn't a game. It is ridiculous to imagine that Cameron cares about the health of people in Wales, especially as he seems not to care about the health of people in England. He only cares about rich people, which makes his comments all the more repulsive.